raccoon. Well, raccoon's trying to get on our back porch. Mama just chased him off with a broom.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. We are sitting in again for Amy tonight. She is out of town, and we're going to set in tonight and Thursday night as her normally scheduled shows. And Wednesday and Friday, she doesn't do a show anyway, so Wednesday and Friday will be normal. Be nothing normal about tonight, but it's because I'm here for an extra hour. So you just have to bear with me, and we'll do the best we can. Welcome to everybody in the chat room. Looks like our attendance is a little light right now for some reason. So that's by one, two, three. Look, wow, looks like I'm in there four times. What the heck is going on here? I don't know what that is. Anyway. Okay. Oh, by the way, it is the 31st of May. Last day. And what have we got now? Four or five months. Let's see, we have June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, just a smidge over 5 months till election time now, and we'll see what goes on. We'll see whether the country's going to be destroyed overnight or in the next 4 years. So one or the other, we'll see. Hey, Susie B, that's cute. Hi, Cope. Yeah. I don't know why I'm in there four times. Because it says I'm only in there three. I don't know. Oh, well. One of those things. We got a few gun things to talk about tonight. And kind of a mixture of different things. So we're going to get on with it. And by the way, if you guys have... last night we got into a pretty good discussion because of some questions out there. So if you think of something you want to talk about or something like that and you got a question, throw it in the chat room or text me if you have the number or email or something, and we'll see if we can get to it. We got 2 hours here. Got a lot of time to talk, so that's what we're going to do tonight. All right, let me find my... Where'd it go? Well, that's just dandy. Must be on the other deal here. Let's try... Did I close that out? If you hear a loud bang, it's because I either shot myself or the computer, one or the other. So I'll let you know if I don't talk anymore, it would have been me. Well, I guess I did. Well, that's all right. Let's open it back up. Just waste a little time is all. Other than that, everything's fine. We've got, you know, those goats out there. They still won't go in that place where I killed the bear the other night. they still won't walk around that area. They'll walk around the whole pen, and when they come to that area where the bear bled out there, they won't even look at it. They stop, little smell, and they'll walk all the way around. That's been what, almost five days now. All right, something is just not working out the way it's supposed to here. But I am trying, I can tell you that. All right, there it comes, a little bit at a time. One of these days I'm going to have to break down and see if I can swing another laptop. This one's getting old and tired. One of these days we're just going to wake up and it's going to be gone, kind of like my old pickup. Between the two of them, we're struggling right now. and I don't know why this thing is so slow. I restarted everything so I wouldn't have to go through this. And now I'm having to go through it anyway. And just hang in there. Alright, here it comes. Okay. Remember our update, or this is an update. Remember last night we talked about how many people were shot and killed in Chicago? Well, from the time that we did the show, or the time of the report, which was, I guess, probably just a few hours before we did the show, until midnight last night, the numbers have changed now. Instead of 6 killed and 42 or 3 injured or whatever it was, it is now 6 killed and 66 injured, 66 shot. So that's what's been going on in Obama country. Something I forgot to mention the other day, and I'm going to throw it in here. It's late. It's definitely something that Amy should probably do, but since Amy's not here, I'm going to have to do it for her. And I meant to talk about this the other day. I thought it was kind of interesting. This was on May 26th, which incidentally was exactly 4 months since Lavoie Finicum was killed. That's the 4 month, I guess you call it an anniversary if it's a month. But anyway, on that day, there were a couple of other heroes that were born, and that is James R. Ness and John Wayne. I guess you can call them heroes, or television heroes. They were both born on May 26th, both Boy Scouts, both Republicans, both pretty tall, 6'4". John Wayne was 6'4", and James R. Ness was 6'7". And I don't know why I think that's so cool, but it's those are two of my most favoritest stars when I was growing up. Still are. I still love Gunsmoke. I still watch every John Wayne movie I get a chance to watch out there. I've seen, as far as I know, I think I've seen pretty near all of them, and some of them multiple times. I mean, multiple, like 8 or 10 times. And I've seen, I'm sure, every episode of Gunsmoke that there is, but I'll watch it again tomorrow. I like it. All right, let's get back over here. And a lot of you heard that a horse broke a leg during the riot in Albuquerque. A horse did not break a leg, and there's an update out there. All the horses are fine. But what they have here now, there's a little thing on the Albuquerque mounted unit, the horse mounted unit. They've got a Facebook page. It is, facebook.com/APDHUF. This is a fund that they have to try to keep the horse unit up and going, and horses fed, I guess. The APD Horse Mounted Unit was created in 1977. There was, at that time, one sergeant, 5 officers, and 6 horses. And the purpose was crime prevention and public relations. They used draft horses because of their nature and their size. Currently, there's 10 horses, 1 sergeant, 2 full-time officers, and there's also multiple collateral part-time riders. I'm not sure why before they had a rider for every horse. Now they've only got 2. Saving money, I guess. I don't know. The time the officer gets on these horses, he is 12 foot above the ground, and that makes him quite a bit more able to scan and see what's going on, able to do a 360-degree scan above the crowd and everything. And they're able to move quickly. And they say, and I'm not sure I agree with this, but they say that one horse is equivalent to 10 officers on foot. I guess that could be right in a manner of surveillance and as fast as they can move and everything. But the horse-mounted unit has several duties. You always see them at the Balloon Festival in Albuquerque, the State Fair. They actually do policing, you know, and patrol the state fair. School and neighborhood functions, those are all public relations engagements, downtown patrol, and high visibility patrols in high crime areas. And they're also very useful in search and rescue operations. So these horses are not just for looks. They are working nags. They go out and earn a living just like anybody else. So I'm sure you were just way interested in that, but I thought I'd throw it out there for you anyway, just for the heck of it. All right. Hang on a minute. Let me shut the noise off on this thing. There we go. And bring up my other little deals. There we go. I guess the news is out to everybody now. You probably saw the gorilla that got shot. A little toddler, four-year-old, got in the gorilla cage in, I believe it was, wasn't it in Chicago? I think it was Chicago. Anyway, in the zoo. And they said that there's a group of people out there who've got a petition going on, and they're about 3,000 names short of their 300,000 names that they needed, if I read that correctly. And all in the protest over shooting this gorilla. Now, I'll have to say, the parents were at fault here. But be that as it may, the gorilla, they had no choice. There was no other option, no other feasible option to protect that kid. And they wound up shooting the gorilla and killing him. I hate it. You know, it's one of those things. It was purely the fault of the parents. How do you have a four-year-old out of your sight long enough, especially in that kind of environment, to let him get through the barriers and stuff and get over the wall and get into the gorillas? It could have just as easily been tigers or bears or whatever. So I blame the parents for the gorilla's death, but the gorilla, under these conditions, had to be killed. It had to be killed instantly. They couldn't have taken a chance on tranquilizing it. A lot of times tranquilize an animal like that, they'll get a little bit aggressive just before they go under. And an animal that size, they say it may take anywhere from 7 to 15 minutes for him to go down. And this was something that had to be done. Now, they say that, talked to a lady that was, well, I didn't talk to her. She's on my Facebook deal. And she used to work with gorillas. And she said that they are not mean. And they are gentle, but they're extremely possessive, very family-oriented. And they're so powerful and so massive. They say that any average-sized gorilla has the strength of at least 10 men. And this kid would not have had a prayer. And it didn't help anything for all the people to be standing up there screaming and hollering and carrying on and confusing and scaring that gorilla. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but it was one of those things. I mean, they can protest all they want. It's not going to bring the gorilla back. You know, you want to do something productive, then set up a fund and get some money and go buy another gorilla somewhere or something. So, anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Let me look at the chat room here and see what's going on. Let's see, we're starting to pick up a few more people here. Of course, a lot of people didn't think Amy was going to be in tonight, and they were right. Amy's not going to be in tonight, but I'm sitting in for her, so there it is. Charlie Brown, do you let my secret out there? And I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good idea. I'm padding the room numbers with my own little secret army. I haven't put my name in there four times. So. Anyway. Rolex says the Army and Air Force are looking at the Glock 17. The FN-57 is a ridiculously stupid idea. I hope there's adults in there in charge of that decision making, and they don't go that way. The Glock 17 may or may not have a chance. I think what they'll do in order to get that in there, they'll have to put manual safeties on them, and I hope they don't. The Rangers and a lot of the special operations units are already using them. I know that to be a fact because I have sent so far 155 of my Glock dry practice kits to two different areas, Fort Benning and Fort Bragg. So I know they're using Glock. Plus, we did a story on it when they were here not too long ago on the Rangers and stuff, used them. And they're not putting, they don't have the manual safeties, but they're also head and shoulders trained above the average rank and file soldier out there, too. So I don't know if they'll, how that's going to pan out. I really like to see them do that just because I trust the gun. I think it's a great choice. But anyway. Let me look and see here. Doc, you're right. Charlie Brown, you know, a baby chimp, you're right, can tear an arm off. I don't know if you guys remember that lady that was attacked here a few years ago. Man, it ripped her face off, and she had, it was a hell of a nose. She finally got around, I think it was Amy's show, that she said that, I believe that she is now suing the lady that had the chimp or something like that. I don't remember the whole story, but... and Susie B is right. It's just too bad they had to make the choice, but you know they had to make the choice. That was the only way they were gonna. The chances of that kid getting injured or killed was extremely high, and I guess I'm glad that there was water in that one place where they. That chimp, I mean, that gorilla just took off running through the water and dragging that kid along like it was like a kid carries a Cabbage Patch doll. You know, it didn't slow him down. He's flopping around like a rag doll. And I don't know if there was any other injuries from that happening, but if that would have been on dry ground or in the rocks, you know, he may have done the same thing. And if he would have, they'd have probably killed that kid. So we're probably fortunate it happened where it did there. So, and I, Rolex, did you see a story or something somewhere where they're actually considering the FN-57? I hope that is not true, because that is, I can see it for certain special operations, certain special tasks, but for a standard issue sidearm, I think it's ridiculous. The FN-57 is grossly romanticized, and people think it's a whole lot more than it. Does it penetrate well? Yes, it does. So does the 22 Magnum. The FN-57 is not a whole very big step above the 22 Magnum. And that's one thing that it makes the 22 Magnum so awesome, is its small size. And it's tremendous amount of penetration it has for such a little round. I think that there's a, I think, and Doc may or may not agree with me here, but Doc, see what you think about this. You know, I think there's a line there somewhere, a velocity line, that once it's broken, that penetration goes down a little, and expansion goes up. And the big, slow, heavy bullets, you know, I've shot deer with, 45-70s, 44 Magnums with hard cast lead bullets in them, and they will travel easily from one end to the other of a good-sized deer. where you're 30-06, you're 243, 223, stuff like that, won't. But I think the 22 Magnum is far enough under that velocity line that it still has, I think it has just about as much speed as it can have before it, and I'm not sure what the proper scientific name is. I don't know if it's cavitation or has something to do with hydraulics, not with bullet construction. And I think that is why, this is my scientific wild ass guess here, that's why the 22 Magnum has such remarkable penetration for such a little guy. I don't know. We'll have to see. Well, Yakima Glock, at least you got in before the last 5 minutes of the show. Thank you very much. You're late, but that's okay. We still got a long ways to go. We're going to be on for 2 hours tonight. Susie B was on time. Yep. And we're starting to pick up a few in the chat room. The numbers in the chat room, I think, are lacking because of the news that was out that Amy was not here. And so we didn't get a whole lot. And now we're changing the tune a little bit, and we're starting to see people show up. So, all right. I will. Now, I don't know. You know what? Hang on just a minute. I need to check something. Amy was going to drop in, and I had a song for her, but I'm going to play another one. So just in case she comes in later, well, I'll play another song for her. I'll be back in a minute.
I used to spend my nights out in a bar room. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom. And you brought me back from being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as the bottom of the bottle always dry. But when you poured out your heart, I didn't waste it. 'Cause there's nothing like your love to get me high. You're as smooth Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as a glass of brandy,
She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. We saw a little discussion. I'll have to read that story about the 5.7. And like I said, there could be certainly some very special purposes for it. It would work well in some regards, but no, I don't think hardly any better, if any better, than the 22 Magnum. But I can see a place for that too, but not as a standard issue sidearm. That's just ridiculous. The amount of energy that it has and everything is just totally, totally unacceptable in that role. I never did take a liking to that thing. We always kept ammo for it, and we sold quite a bit of ammo and stuff for it. Sold a few guns, but you know, basically I tried to talk people out of them, and that was one of the things that I could have done a lot differently. I don't know that I would have, but I could have done a lot differently while I was in business, and that's just selling people what they wanted. But no, I had to tell them, well, before you do that, let me offer a little advice. Let me tell you a few things about this. And by the time I did, well, they'd change their mind. But I just didn't feel good about selling people just something just because they saw it on some magazine somewhere and decided to buy one. Anyway, let's see. Let me get back over here to my other stories. I watched a video tonight, and it was very educational in a way, I guess. It was about a guy in, I believe this was in, it was in another country. It wasn't here. I forgot where it was at. Bahrain, maybe, or somewhere. Anyway, there was an MMA fighter there with a knife who had already stabbed one officer to death. And some other ones there had tried to convince him to drop the knife and give it up, give himself up. And there was a bunch of them there. But this guy, obviously being an MMA fighter, he was in good shape, really good physical condition, very determined. May have been on drugs. We don't know that yet. I think considering what happened, it was entirely possible. But this guy took multiple rifle rounds before he went down, which leads me to believe that he was probably on some kind of drugs. And it also leads me to believe that these guys missed a whole lot. But they were close enough, and enough of them shooting, they probably fired, probably well over 100 rounds at this guy. Now, they hit him to begin with several times, obviously. You can tell they hit him. And he went down, and we thought that was it. And then he got up, and he come at him again. And I don't know how many times he was hit. He was a complete bloody mess. I don't know how many times they hit him or where they hit him. Obviously, they didn't hit him in the craniocular cavity. They didn't hit him in the spine. They didn't hit him in the femur. And they didn't hit him in the heart. But he was shot multiple times. But I see this as being both an issue for probably three issues here. One, number one, as far as preppers go, as far as militia goes, is physical conditioning. This guy, now I'm saying he may have been on drugs, and I know what that does also. But he took quite a bit of fire there, and I think a lot of it was due to his condition. Now, I know there's a lot of good, faithful patriots out there, a lot of them. And I know a lot of them would take a bullet for the Constitution, for the country, in a heartbeat. But we all claim to be so serious, and we all claim to want to train, and we all claim to be Rambo and this and that and the other thing. Until it comes to dinner time, or time to go out and exercise and do something. We just can't seem, and I'm no different than anybody else, we just can't seem to put the time aside to try to tighten up a little bit and lose a little bit of weight. And I'm telling you, it's going to kill a great many of us when the time comes. We are not going to be able to move quickly. We're going to hold back. We're going to put our families and our teams in jeopardy, because there, no matter how much we tell them not to, there's going to be people that's going to try to keep you going instead of just letting you stay back and get captured or killed. And people just do not take this nearly seriously enough. It's all fun and games, and everybody wants to do it. Until I got on a guy, I may have told you this before, but I got on a guy one time up in northern Arizona. He was from down in the southern part of the state, and bless his heart, he had the drive. You know, he wanted to. He had the ambition. He tried really hard. And I just had to make him stop. I thought he was going to die. I mean, he quit sweating, and he was way overweight. And I said, you know what? You're going to die out here. You're going to hold back a bunch of your friends and teammates, and you're going to leave your lovely young wife out there for the taking, because you're not going to be able to do anything. So you need to make up your mind that you either are going to get your poop in a group and get squared away here and get to where you're not a liability to everybody around you. I was pretty hard on him. You know, not a liability to everybody around you, or you need to just sell this gear to somebody and get out of this game. If you want to be just sit around and be fat, then sit around and be fat. That's okay. That's up to you. I don't mind that. I love you anyway, like a brother. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me. But if you want to be in this game and be a viable part of it, then you're going to have to do something different. You're going to be out. You're going to die in training. You're not even going to get a chance to fight when the time comes. And I think that this, the way that this story went right here, I think kind of illustrates that. And we see it every training exercise, every time. There's somebody out there that just flat can't keep up. And the reason they can't keep up is just because they're overweight and soft and won't. The only training they get is the once a month field training exercise or something that happens. They won't do it on their own. It's still, ice cream cones, cheeseburgers, fries, but they drink a Diet Coke, so that's okay. But we all need to ponder on this. Even some of us that are not real overweight, we're still soft and not tuna. Of course, a lot of us have years on us, too, that's not helping anything. So when you put all that together, we're kind of a sorry bunch. We've got the heart for it, but we just don't have the physical stuff to go with it. So the other thing I got out of this was, number one was the physical issue. Number two was the training of the cops that were shooting him. They were scared. Scared to death. Some of them even trying to shoot backwards while they were running forward. The guy had a knife. Instead of taking the time and just making that cranio-ocular cavity shot and you know, pumping rounds in from they were close enough. I think the farthest shot that was ever taken was might have been 20 yards, maybe. Some of them as close as, you know, 3 yards. I don't know how many times they missed. I'm quite certain that out of that 100, 125 rounds that they shot, I'm sure at least half of them hit the concrete and didn't touch the guy, if not more than that. So training was a big deal here. There's a big psychological concern here. These guys, all these cops, all of them, were scared to death. They were intimidated by this guy's drive, by his unwillingness to give up, by his savage approach, almost superhuman, which again leads me to believe that he was on drugs. But nevertheless, nobody tried to stand their ground and place those shots carefully. They were running and shooting just as hard as they could go. And the fight led from an alleyway out into the street, into the public. And he went down, and they blasted and blasted and blasted. I cannot believe how many times they shot. And he still tried to get them. Finally, the very last shot, somebody figured it out. And they put him down hard. It's all about shot placement, guys. I don't care how many drugs you're on. I don't care how mad you are. I don't care how big you are. I don't care what good a shape you're in. If you place that shot carefully, you're going to go down, and that may require putting it in the thoracic cavity. You take somebody that, no, it wasn't in France. You take somebody that is, let me see if I can figure out where that was. Hold on here a minute, and I'll let you know. But if you find out that your thoracic cavity shots are not working the way they should, then you need to change your game a little bit and place your shots somewhere else. So regardless of the kind of shape that you're in, a properly placed shot will bring it to an end. Let's see here. I don't want to have to watch the video again. Let me turn it on here and see. I thought it said right from the beginning that we... where it was at. Well, I don't know. It started with a B anyway. I'm not sure where it was at. But if... Rolex, you're mean. Glad you made it in here tonight, though, anyway. Okay. Well, this isn't going to start, so let me just get it out of the way completely, and we'll move on to bigger and better things. I guess you've all seen, especially for those of you on Facebook, that seems to be the only place we can get some types of news out there. They claim, several places claim, that Hillary is going to be indicted on federal racketeering charges. She may be. I don't think it's going to change anything. It didn't change anything for all the stuff that she's been involved in so far, all the lies that she's been caught in didn't change anything. Didn't change anything for Eric Holder when we proved beyond a doubt that he was involved in this, or Barack Obama, that he was involved in Fast and Furious. Even still yet today, as many as shootings, as many deaths have been attributed to guns that were lost during Fast and Furious, those people still today are not in any trouble. They you know, I can see them sweeping it under the rug for a little while, but you know, there comes a point when they say, you know what, we can't keep doing this. Somehow or another, somebody's got to be accountable to that, for this. But you know, Bill Clinton, look at Richard Nixon. He didn't do half what Clinton did, or Obama, either one, or Holder, or Clinton, or anybody, or Hillary Clinton, or anybody else. They didn't have any trouble getting rid of him. But anyway, let me see here. I wish I'd quit pushing that button. I push the same button and do the same thing every time. Oh, my honey's on there. Give me just a second here. And let her know that we're on. There we go. All right, let's move on. Remember Kate Steinle? This was Catherine Steinle, maybe. You might remember the one that was on the pier in San Francisco on Pier 14. And she got killed by an illegal alien with a gun that was stolen from a federal agent. So we have multiple issues here. It was a BLM agent. It confirmed that the let's see here. It was a BLM agent confirmed that the Sig Sauer P-239 40 caliber recovered at the scene was the duty pistol of a ranger, BLM ranger, I'm assuming, stolen from his vehicle. And I'm trying to... There we go. So we had an immigration problem here, an illegal alien problem. We had a federal agent that couldn't keep track of his stuff. And what happened over it? Well, she's going to court now. The guy was a Mexican national with at least already 7 felonies, 5 deportations under his belt. Why do you keep deporting somebody with that many felonies? Won't you just lock them up or shoot them? I don't care what you do with them. Get them off the street one way or another. He pleaded not guilty in Superior Court. This was last year. And says that he found the gun in a T-shirt on a bench. And this was just a little while after he was in custody of the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. But released again, despite a request to hold on to him by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, due to a memo issued by the sheriff to generally refuse requests from the agency. There's a cop here. He was a state cop. He's not a cop anymore. This guy is as constitutional as they come, and one of my best friends. He is an awesome individual. And he caught some illegals and took them to Border Patrol. I don't remember the exact terminology of everything, every move that he made. But anyway, they told him, no, we're not going to take them. And he said, yes, you are going to take them. He says, I know the law, and I've brought these dirt bags up here for you, and they're yours, and you're going to take them. He said, you may take them down the road and turn them loose again, but right now you're going to take them off my hand and take them in custody. And I love this guy. He's a good friend and just an awesome individual. But that's just the opposite of this story that we're getting here. But anyway, in this lawsuit, this was just filed last Thursday by the woman's folks, by her parents, claim that the general public, that claims general and public entity negligence in the wrongful death, and they're naming the BLM, ICE, and the city and county of San Francisco, and the murderer himself, all as defendants. So I hope this, the thing that I hate about this is that I hope they win $190 billion. But the problem is the taxpayers have to pay for it. They need to sue individually. Don't sue BLM, sue the officer. And I don't know all the whys and wherefores and legal stuff here, but sue the officer and make him pay for it out of his pocket. You're not going to get nearly as much money, but the taxpayers are not going to have to pay for it. Once that happens to a few people individually, then I think that we'll see a lot more compliance, a lot more people being a little more careful with what they do, rather than, okay, well, no big deal. It's like Daniel Love, you know, caused Dr. Red there in Utah to commit suicide, him and some of his cohorts. They don't care if they sue him. It's not going to be nothing to him. They need to sue him individually. Maybe that can't be done. I don't know why nobody else is doing it, but that's what I would try to do. So I see that my sweetheart is in the chat room now, and I saved this song just for her. And you guys say hello to Scoutus, and I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, how you sparkle, and oh, how you shine. The flush on your cheeks is more than the wine. And he must do something that I didn't do. Whatever he's doing, it looks good on you. You look so good in love. You want him, that's easy to see. You look so the sky and gave them to you to wear in your eyes. I had my chances, but I set you free, and now I wonder why I couldn't see. You look so good in love. You want him, that's easy. I've wasted a lot of years not seeing the real you, but tonight your beauty is shining through. And I never took the time to let you know. So before he takes you away, please let me say, you look so. Him, it's easy to see.
She's back! Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. And I just got something from Jeanette Finnicum here. I gotta check it real quick. Never mind. I can read that later. Okay, good deal. All right, let's move on. There is, as of this year, 2016, this is the 200th anniversary of Remington making firearms here. Have been for a long time, America's oldest gun maker. Started in 1816, makes them 200 years. And they've been involved in making guns for the military from the very beginning, and still do today. A lot of the old trapdoor 4570s were Remingtons. I know that they were, Springfield was the people that brought them out, but I think a lot of those were Remingtons too. But I may be wrong about that, but Remington started early on with the military. And of course, a lot of the M1 Garands, the 03 A3s, a lot of your current sniper rifles, 1911s, a lot of Remington 1911s out there, all made by Remington. So I guess we could sing the happy birthday song here for Remington, but they, looking at the story here, the first one, I guess, was a U.S. model. It was 1840 Jenks, J-E-N-K-S. Is not one that immediately springs to mind when everybody is thinking about Remington, but it's what got them started and issued primarily to the Navy. The Jenks was not designed by Remington, although the government was impressed enough with the company's wherewithal to contract it for several thousand of these interesting contrivances in 1846. The gun's most notable feature was a side-action mule ear lock. Two versions were manufactured, one that handled standard percussion caps, and a second fitted with a Maynard-type priming device. So it goes on to show through the Civil War, quite a few different things going on there. I'm not going to read the whole story, we've got other things to do, but there was several other firms, including Remington, that took advantage of the patents expiring for the revolver for Colt when they did, in as early as 1861. produced it. Yeah, and Remington 1861 produced its first service caliber six shooter. The Beals 44 Army and the 36th Navy. So then it's there's a lot of it's a long story, and we're not going to do the whole thing. I just basically wanted to let you know that it was Remington's 200th anniversary here. So yesterday we talked about a guy that little prank with throwing a, what was it, a 3-foot alligator in a Wendy's, I think it was, a drive-thru deal. Well, Wendy's is the brunt here of another idiot that was just about as stupid as this one. Guy tried to rob the bank here after paying a wizard $500 to make him invisible. Now, apparently this story is factual. I don't know. It sounds a little stupid to me, but anyway, this guy, unfortunately, the wizard wasn't real. It wasn't one of Harry Potter's deal, Lord of the Rings or whatever. So when you pay a wizard $500 that you can be invisible and rob a bank, it's probably not going to go well, and that was the case with this guy. They say he hasn't been named yet, but at least they have a picture of him. And he allegedly told the judge at his trial, he said, "I made a mistake. I understand now what a big trick was played on me." The guy's first mistake was walking into the bank and randomly grabbing money out of the customer's hands because, you know, he was invisible, so, you know, what are they going to do? So seeing what was happening, I guess the people in the bank overpowered him and saved him for the police. And I don't know how the police managed to get him handcuffed, not being able to see his wrists and everything. So anyway, love you too, babe. I'm glad you made it in here for a little bit. Talk to you later. I'll talk to you after the show. So anyway, that's another seriously ridiculous story there. There is, or was, a robbery, a massive robbery of a gun store in Houston. Not a completely new concept. It's happened before, but you don't see it happening too awful much. And say as many as 10 thieves made off with thousands of dollars worth of weapons during an organized heist of Carter's Country Firearm. You know, Carter's Country, we've talked about Carter's Country before for something. I don't remember what it was. But we've talked about it on the show for some reason or another. Maybe it was robbed again sometime. Anyways, thieves ripped off the security door with a pickup truck, then flooded inside, smashed display cases, made off with at least 50 guns. Wow. Houston police released surveillance video both inside and outside of Carter's Country. There was as many as 10 masked thieves made off with 50 or more firearms. 4:30 in the morning, best time to do it. You know, when we were in Farmington, actually we had, I may have been gone from Farmington already. I don't remember. It was somewhere real close to that time. But one of my competitors, and I hate to even call him a competitor because he was a nice guy. I got along with him real well. And he was absolutely no threat to me. He sold a few guns, but mostly it was like more like a Big Five. You know, he did sporting goods and kayaks and archery stuff and all that kind of stuff. So he was no threat whatsoever to me. He was not really a competitor. And we traded stuff back and forth, you know, and he didn't do any gunsmithing or anything like that. So, anyway, he got robbed. And this was 3:00 in the morning.
And somebody, I believe that they ripped off the steel bars over the window with a pickup. And the cops were there in less than 15 minutes. And it was long since over with. They ripped that off. And I'm going to guess that one guy stayed back, unhooked the chain or just cut the rope or whatever and left it. I don't know what the means was. And they went in there and took, I don't remember how many guns. It seemed like 12, 15, something like that. But they were in and out and gone. Best of my knowledge, they never have caught them. And all in less than 15 minutes. It was probably actually less than 5 minutes. It is less than 15 minutes for the cops to get there, which is not bad time, really, for a town that size. There's Farmington proper, I think, is over 80,000 people now. So for cops to get there in less than 15 minutes, I think, is admirable for them. Still way too slow for most things, but it's way lot faster than a whole bunch of other towns. I've been in places where it was easily half hour, 45 minutes, and sometimes a couple hours because they're so big. What do you think happens in Chicago when you call 911 while 66 people are getting shot and 6 people getting killed? No telling how many beatings and robberies and everything else was going on. Hell, you may have to pick a number when you call 911 sometime early next week. So, there's a few people in the Farmington Police Department that I don't care for too much. Not a few, a couple. But I won't say anything bad about their response time. That wasn't bad at all. You know, I don't know what happened to my email here, but I think I've got one account that I'm going to have to close down because I get stuff in there that's important, and then I get tons of spam that I have never gotten before. I usually try to keep that down to a minimum. And let me tell you guys, and I may have told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again just for everybody's safety and my peace of mind. If you're going to forward an email to someone, if it's just going to one person, that's fine. Even if it's going to two people, I don't care if it's man and wife, two brothers, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. If it's going to more than one person, put the recipients under BCC, please. Man, I can't believe the amount of people that do not do that. Even if it's man and wife, best friends, somebody that you know them both. It's not a matter of whether what BCC is. If any of you don't know, when you receive an email that was been sent with all the recipients in BCC, you can't see any of them. You cannot retrieve them. They're lost and gone forever. You can't. If you forward the email, nobody's going to see it. But even the most well-intentioned person sometimes that is usually security conscious, once in a while, and I've seen it happen just in the last month, where people, it's an interesting email, you know a whole lot of people that might like that, and you just forward it without even thinking, and it's got all those names exposed. Now, CC won't do it. It has to be BCC. Blind carbon copy, I think, or blind closed copy, or whatever, not carbon copy, anyway, whatever it is. And I know that you trust the people you send it to, but then they say, you know what, I know that this guy is like-minded, and I know he won't mind, so I'm going to go ahead and send it over here because I trust all these people. And so somebody on the other end says, well, this guy's like-minded. George knows him, so he probably wants to get stuff from me, too. So you wind up getting this stuff from every damn buddy. And, if I want that kind of stuff, I will contact you and ask for it. But just put it under BCC. Be courteous. be mindful of security all the time. ComSec, communication security, would fall into this. You know, I put a deal in there. Matter of fact, I may go get it for you. It's on my blog. Sent it to quite a few people. I don't know if I've posted it in here yet or not. But I put a deal on there. Huh, we just got something else that's interesting there. I put a thing on there not too long ago about ComSec. It's long, but I think you could all benefit from it if you haven't read it yet, or if you, you know, if you... there it is right here. Let me grab this. I'm going to throw it in the chat room just for the heck of it. Just on account of some of you may not have seen it yet. If I could do two things at one time, I could continue to talk while I'm doing this. But evidently, that's not the case. I think what happened is Amy come in there and got me all flustered. Now I can't wait to get on the phone and talk to her after the show. All right, here we go. Now I'm getting it. Finally starting to calm down a little bit and get my blood pressure back to normal. All right, when you get a chance, I threw that in the chat room for you. When you get a chance, it'd take a little time. It's a little bit long. But I think it's beneficial for everyone if I haven't ever put it in before. And you might check my blog once in a while. I put stuff like that. I don't flood you with a whole bunch of stuff. But you can go to theshootingbench.info and subscribe to my blog if you want. You know, and if I put a story up there, usually it's something that's pretty, what I think is pretty important anyway. And like I said, I don't put stuff up there every day. Like, of course, there's a lot of people that do. That's what they do. John Galt did, I don't know how many a day. But that was his thing. That's okay. But, you know, I do about, you know, one a month or something like that. So I'm definitely not going to flood you with a bunch of stuff if you want to subscribe to that in there. And there goes those cotton-picking dogs again. I'll be right back. Stand by.
This old smoke-filled bar is something I'm not used to. But I gave up my home to see you satisfied. And I just called to let you know where I'll be living. It's not much, but I feel welcome here inside. Got swinging doors, a jukebox, and a bar stool. And my new home has a flashy neon sign. Stop by and see me anytime you want to. 'Cause I'm always here at home till closing time. Sign.
Shut this thing off here now. The dogs were going crazy. I can't hardly believe that there was another bear here that soon, but it might have been a lion. We do have quite a few lions around here. So, anyway, we'll just let it go for now. I'll catch my breath here a minute. Hold on. All right. Hey, Mountain Shooter, you're right. It's not Friday night. But once in a while, I just get to where I have to play a few songs to take up some time while I go do something else. So it's just the nature of the beast, brother. It's got to be that way sometimes. All right, let's go on here. I got a deal coming up here. If it would hurry up. There we go. All right, I told you we was going to talk a little bit more about guns. We talked about Remington. There's I think they're doing the same thing now. I see quite a few stories in various publications about revolvers. And we talked, I believe it was last night, a little bit about, it was either last night or Friday, about revolvers compared to semi-autos. And was it last Thursday we talked about single-action revolvers as defense guns? But it seems like they're trying to breathe a little life back into double-action revolvers. I'm starting to see more stories on stuff that we already has been hashed out for years and years, and now they've got a deal up here saying comparing what they consider the five best concealed carry revolvers out there, and this particular author, in his very biased opinion, his number one choice is our top of his list here. Let me look and see. Let me go down to the bottom of the list and see if... Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. Unbelievable. All right, well, we'll get to that in a minute. The top one on the list is the Ruger SP-101 357 Magnum with a 2.25-inch barrel. he likes this because it's got a Crimson Trace laser grips on it and all of that. And I'm going to tell you, we discussed this a little bit the other night. And the 357 Magnum, if you're going to carry one, is okay, I guess, if you want to put 38s in it. But a 2-inch 357 Magnum is... It's indescribable. To fire that in a confined area, a bedroom, kitchen, hallway, will most assuredly result in permanent hearing damage, at the very least, and may, in the case of a hallway or something, you may very likely rupture one or both of your eardrums. Will it get the job done? Sure. Will a whole lot of other guns get the job done just as well, without nearly the muzzle flash and blast? Absolutely. We talked about that the other night. We don't need to go into it again. But this... Yeah, Doc, I've been thinking about trying to put a something out there to that the goats can take care of themselves, or let the dogs take care of the goats or something like that. I don't know. I had no idea that little bear jumper. I figured a bear would tear the fence down. But that little bear hopped over that thing like it was nothing. I could not believe it. I had him in my scope. Well, I saw the eyes moving around out there, and I knew it was a pretty good-sized animal. I couldn't see what it was, but I saw the eyes shining over a barrier that's part of the fence. And I knew it wasn't a jackrabbit or a coyote. It was pretty good-sized. So, and I saw the eyes disappear over to the left where it gets to be solid wood. And I'm looking through the scope at that spot, and all of a sudden, my scope is full of bear. He hopped over that fence like it was nothing, like it was 2 feet high. And I wouldn't have expected that out of a bear. But anyway, he landed in the water trough, and the rest is history. But anyway, so let's get back to this guy's list here. See what's going on in the chat room real quick. Yeah, you know, Doctor, you've got a point there. The 357 Magnum indoors, yeah, it's very much like a flashbang. You ain't kidding. And the other guy's not expecting it. So the only way I would have any possible inclination to do that is if I were able to get my hearing protection on before I pull the trigger. Now, I'm not gonna argue with anybody about that old stupid saying where they say, well, it's better to lose your hearing than your life. Okay, I get that. I don't have a problem with that. I would definitely rather you lose my hearing than my life. But this risk versus reward thing that we talk about all the time, why do I have to do either? Anything you shoot in a hallway is going to be devastating. 357 Magnum is going to be 18 times more devastating than anything else you're going to shoot, or 29 times more devastating, or at least 10 times. It's just not any fun to shoot inside. It ain't much damn fun to shoot outside. The muzzle flash is going to blind everybody that has eyes. The muzzle blast is going to put everybody on the floor, including you, unless you were smart enough and had the time. That's the biggest problem in a defensive situation. Do you have time to put on hearing protection before this happens? So I would rather choose something that will get the job done just as well, that's a little bit more mild-mannered than a than a 2-inch 357. I'm just not a fan. I try hard to talk people out of that. So, but if you're going to use that and use some little bit milder 38s, that would be okay. Save the 357s just in case you need them for penetration or something. But otherwise, I would stay away from it. This guy's second choice, this guy is a masochist. He's got a problem. His second choice is a Smith & Wesson 642 with a... either an inch and 7/8 or a 2 1/8 inch, and it's ported. The gun's ported, and either with a 2-inch barrel, I don't get it. I don't understand where this guy's coming from. I tell you, you do not want a ported gun for a self-defense gun. You just don't. For a lot of reasons. One is this is already loud enough. This particular one comes in, you got four choices. It comes in a 40 Smith & Wesson, 45 ACP, a 357 Magnum, or a 44 Magnum. None of which I want to shoot through a ported inch and 7/8 inch barrel. Not remotely, even a little bit interested in that. But and I'll tell you a couple of reasons why you don't want a ported gun besides the noise. One is, especially this particular one, it's ported right straight up instead of out to the side like MagnaPort. And right straight up like that, you're going to have this. It's going to blind you for a minute. And this is going to be worse than the MagnaPort. We messed around with this a little bit. We had a MagnaPorted 2-inch 38 when we was in Farmington. We played with that a little bit. And it's bad enough that the... and we also had a ported Glock 23, which shot the fire out to the side. So you have this V burned into your eyes, but at least the center was somewhat clear. You could still see movement and light in the center of the V. This one right here shoots it right straight up in your face. You're not going to be able to see a damn thing for a few minutes. So that's one reason I don't like them. Another reason is that if you shoot this from a close contact position, there is a potential there for personal injury. At the very least, and I've seen this happen during matches, during training, and that is to blow somebody's hat off. And I mean the guy that's shooting it, not somebody else. But if you were to shoot that from a close contact position, which is most inadvisable, if it shoots straight out the top, that would be better because at least it would go out. If you're holding that at a bit of an angle, in a close contact position, the fire is going to go out away from you a little bit. If you're holding it at that same angle, and you have the two slots, the two ports in the side like MagnaPort does, then that left-hand port is going to come straight up into your face. I've seen it blow shooting glasses off, hats off, maybe both. And I just think for a personal defense gun that is just a very, very poor idea. The next one makes a little more sense. This is the third in his list of five. Makes a little bit more sense. It's the Ruger LCR. We used to call them little crappy revolvers, but they fixed their few problems they had in the beginning. This one's a 38 special. It's rated for plus P's, and it also has the Crimson Trace laser grips, which I'm not a fan of either. Both of the revolvers that he was talking about before, especially the first one, the Ruger, very heavy, very bulky for a concealed carry gun. The 6.42, not so much. The little LCR, much, much lighter. It is a polymer-framed revolver, and I don't know how rugged they are as far as thousands of rounds in training, but they're still holding up well. They've been out now for, 10 years or a little better, and they're around 10 years anyway, and they seem to be doing okay. But... So this is hammerless, so that's okay. I'm all right with a concealed hammer. I'm still not a big fan of a five-shot revolver for concealed carry, but this is the best of the three so far. Now, I'll tell you why I don't like the Crimson Trace laser grip. The Crimson Trace is it's right on the top of your grip panel. Usually, and I don't know if they make a left-handed version or not, it's usually on the right-hand side. In this one, yeah, it's on the right-hand side. So what that means, as long as you're shooting right-handed, it does okay. And I learned this doing some laser demonstrations one night in a night shooting class. We had one out there.
And as soon as you take your finger off the trigger and put it straight and alongside the frame where it should be, your laser goes away. So if for those people that think that you're going to use that for intimidation, you're also going to have your finger on the trigger to or consciously move it down out of the way. The other thing is that if you shoot this gun left-handed, if you get the Crimson Trace laser grip on the right side and then you shoot left-handed, you're going to have a bunch of thumbs up there in the way of where your laser comes out. So if you have to swap hands, which we train people to do that, you know, Yakima Glock's been through that. He knows that we shoot with our strong hand or our firing hand most of the time, but there'll be times when either because we're wounded or because we're clearing a room from a particular angle or something where we need to, we should be able to very comfortably and effectively just swap hands with that handgun and shoot from your support side if you need to without any problem. So that's good, Susie B. Shooting 50-50 with each hand, that's good. But a lot of people don't. I can't tell you how many people were going to take the concealed carry class in pharmacy. They said, well, I can't because I sprained my wrist or I got a splinter in my pinky or smashed my finger. I did something. And that was my shooting hand. And I said, what's the matter with the other one? Well, I never thought about it. Okay, well, think about it. Class starts in 2 hours, so we'll see you then. But that's why I don't like the Crimson Trace laser grips, because of where they're located. All right, let's go check the next one in the lineup. That is the Smith & Wesson M&P 340 revolver. This is a very lightweight double-action revolver. And it's also has an internal hammer. That's what's important for concealed carry, to keep the hammer from catching on something. My own little Taurus 85, I did that to it just for that very reason. It's chambered in 38 Special Plus P and in the 357 Magnum. Two different ones there, apparently. I don't see, as well as any other revolver, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't see any inherent problems that I would not choose it. The last one on the list, which I don't understand why it's on the list, period. This is a version of the Judge. Now, it's not the, this is a lightweight, five-shot, double-action only revolver, perfect for concealment, comes with an internal hammer. No, wait. Let me move down here a little bit. Another of our best concealed carry revolvers, check out the Revolutionary Public Defender Polymer. It says Public Defender right on the side of it here. It says the Judge. Scaled down version of everyone's favorite combo gun, everyone but me. The Taurus Judge still gives you the ability to fire your choice of ammunition, now in a size that fits most pockets. Wow, I couldn't wait for this! Why did it take them so long to give me a pocket-sized Judge? Also in the lighter polymer frame, you know I'm kidding, right? Retarded! Also in a lighter polymer body with new updates for improved handling and accuracy. Yeah, improved handling, that's a great thing. Truly amazing, it says. Just like its big brother, this little gun delivers amazing versatility and devastating firepower for self-protection. 2.5-inch 410s and 45 Colt in the chamber, so that's what you've got there. Short and sweet. There's this author's five guns. Five revolvers for concealed carry. That last one, Alright, before we go to the next little story here, let me swing through the chat room real quick and see if there's anything important going on. Yakima Glock, there's a point there, but the one thing I would have to disagree with you on, where he says you can't shoot long guns from the weak side, eyes won't work. I would encourage you to take that one word out of there and not say can't. Because when I get up there, I can show you how to do it. This is not a matter of whether or not you can strike matches at 100 yards. It's a matter of whether you can use that long gun in a viable self-defense role. So even using what Gabe Suarez calls a caveman EOTech, there's ways that you can make that gun effective even if you can't use the sights properly. You can take the sights completely off of it and still be effective with it. And I'll show you when I come up there, we'll do that. Don't let me forget. Remind me and we'll go through that a little bit. And I'll help you out with it a little. Rolex, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I have no idea what you're talking about. What about the fused S1 through S exclamation point? So I have no clue what you're talking about. But if there's something physical that the recoil would cause a permanent or worse injury, then obviously you can't do it. Otherwise, I don't know what's fused. I don't know what you're talking about. So, let's see. Doc, you've always got something to come up with there. Yeah, 10-gauge judge, that would be awesome. Once. And then that would be it. All right, let's move on. We got one more thing here. Just about out of time. Henry's got a... They don't have nearly the... I don't think they get the press that they should. Henry makes a pretty good rifle. I don't think they're quite on par with Winchester's and Marlin's, but they make good rifles. And it's an old company. They've been around for... I don't know when they started. I'm going to guess 1860, 1880, somewhere in there. They've been around for a while. They've been around damn near as long as Remington. But they've got a new one here, the Big Boy Silver Rifle. They had the Golden Boys, and they were not impossible to get. They were tough. We sold quite a few of them there in Farmington, but there was always a long, long wait. Well, now they want to hear one called the Silver Rifle, the Henry Big Boy Silver Rifle. And the only difference is the receiver is a bright chrome silver. I'm not sure why anybody would want one, but it looks nice. It would be a nice gun to take out there. If you like some bling on your gun, which I don't, I like to paint my bling with Krylon from Walmart. I don't think I have. The only one I haven't and not because I don't want to, I just haven't gotten around to it yet. My little 527 CZ, 7.62x39. What a beautiful, awesome little gun that is. But it has kind of a dull finish and a wooden stock, so I'm not too worried about it glaring as much as some of the other ones. But I've taken both of my 308s now have been camoed out. One of my 22 Magnums is camoed out. And I used paint on one and Duracoat on all the rest of them. Cerakote on one of them. My Glocks. I don't have a stock. Yes, I do. I have one. My 23 is still stock black. All of the rest of my Glocks have been colored some way or another. I've got one that's desert camo and one that's kind of a experimental, stupid-looking reddish brown. Looks kind of dumb, but I've got strictly a hunting gun, so I don't really care what it looks like. And got another one that's desert tan, not camo, but tan. And the one that I'm wearing right now is one that's been in a lot of pictures and stuff, and it's kind of a metal blue Duracoat over the whole thing. And my 34 is still stock too. My 34 and my 23 are stock black. One of my 35s is kind of a desert tan grip and blued slide. My other 35 is Desert Camo Duracoat. And then I have a chopped 22, chopped to a 23 grip. That is a bitone. It was kind of an OD green. I've got it's put away. It took a dirt nap. And I don't remember exactly what color it is, but it's two colors anyway. All right, now let me go back into them. Looking in the chat room here. yeah, Susie B, that Henry 22 Survival, that used to be a Charter Arms gun. And it was originally, I think, a Springfield Armory gun, or Springfield anyway. And then it was Charter Arms. And I think now... Or maybe it's Springfield now, and it was used to be Henry. I don't know. There's been three or four people that's put that out. Okay, Rolex. I don't know that I'm qualified to answer that. I don't know for sure. I can't feel what you feel. I'd have to be with you to see if we could do anything. I don't see, unless the recoil of a rifle, which means you get a smaller rifle. I mean... But I don't see why you couldn't shoot with the offside. We may have to adopt a little bit of a unconventional stance there or something. But like I said, I can't feel what you feel, so I can't answer that. I would love to accept the challenge if you were ever somewhere where I would where I could be with you for a little bit. I would absolutely love to accept that challenge and see if we could do something with it. But as of right now, I don't know. I can't really answer that. Let me swing down through the chat room here real quick before we call it a night. Yeah, Yakima Glock, that is an awesome concealed carry gun. And that is the... I got rid of mine here. I kept it for probably 8 years. And I had a chopped 23, chopped down to a 26 grip. And what a great concealed carry choice that is. Works wonderful. But, you know, I got to a point, I told you guys before, that it is to a point now where I don't want to carry a 5-shot revolver. And I'm not even all that wild about carrying a 10-shot semi-automatic. I don't mind because, you know, the reloads are still... You know, 1.3 seconds or whatever it is. So it's not that big a deal. But, you know, when I started carrying a full-size gun and two extra magazines, I got to thinking that that chopped gun, I'm probably not going to carry it too much anymore. So I use my 23 now. I kind of miss the other one, but only because I like to show it off because it was a really handsome gun. But as far as practicality... When I feel the need to be concealed for over long periods of time, like when I'm going to church or something, or I'm going to a meeting or somewhere where I need to be concealed for several hours at a time, then I'll carry my 23. Otherwise, I keep my 22 and just let it go. So, well, Rolex, and I don't know what your training regimen is. You know, I don't know what your attitude is, really. But just because you can't run and gun anymore doesn't mean you don't still have the right to self-defense. And there are ways to overcome many, many things. I had the challenge of putting probably four or five guys, one woman, in wheelchairs through several different classes a time or two. And they did well. It's not really that big a deal. So, and we could do it for you. There's no question in my mind. And you may not need that kind of advice. You may already have it, you know, have that part of it figured out for yourself. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there just because I didn't have any place else to throw it. So... Well, I'm going to go back here. Got to get out of this real quick. I'm going to go back and check my chat room one more time, and then I'm going to start easing towards the door here and see if I can't
talk to my sweetheart before she goes to bed. She's working hard. It's hot where she's at. It's been 90 and 100 degrees. And so she's kind of dying over there, going to bed early. I know that heat sucks it out of you. It sure does me. That was a problem when I was in Southeast Texas all the time. It gets so hot. That beer joint sure was nice when it come end of the day there. Let me get my changes made. Okay. Well, I'm going to get on out of here. We will see you guys tomorrow. I'll be on at my regular time tomorrow because Amy doesn't have a show on Wednesday, so I'm not going to have a show for her on Wednesday. But I will be in here at my regular time at 8 o'clock Pacific and 11 Eastern. And we'll probably do quite a bit of gun stuff tomorrow night. All right, I'll see you then. Thanks for joining me. Sorry we did so much stuttering and messing around here tonight. We got through it, though. Good night.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you want to holler, hi-de-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Grape wine in a mason jar. Homemade and brought to school.
You've been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio. Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you want to holler, hi-de-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Jukebox and sawdust floor.
And catch Living Away Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug. Make you wanna holler, hi-de-ho. Burns your tummy, don't you know. Chug-a-lug, chug-a-lug.